Hear the words of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot take it in. I think what David is describing here is the level of intimacy that we as the created have with our Creator. So in that moment of intimacy and thinking about that closeness we have with him, let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we are grace-enabled creatures who can sit here before you and sing your praises, sing your songs of thanks, and plead for mercy. And in all of our different languages and all of our different states and the places we come from and the places we're going to, we're here as one people under one God. And so we first want to say thank you. Thank you for pouring out grace for us and the ways we realize it and we don't realize it. And sometimes we're overwhelmed by what a gift you've given to us to enable us to live and live freely. And sometimes we don't see it, but we're thankful for it. And next, we want to ask you to enter into the places that we're trying to turn over for it to you, the places that we struggle and the places that we are fearful about. Give us endurance this morning through the discouragement we feel as we're trying to figure things out that don't seem to end. Be in those places. And urge us to be there for each other as well. You know, what is church without connection? So we pray that as resistant as we are, however many walls we put up, you push us and pull us and allow us to connect with one another in this place. We pray that you be in the Word as Pastor Christopher speaks this morning. Allow our eyes to see and our ears to hear. In your name we pray, amen.
Good morning, 1105 team, or 1105 team and everybody else. Boy, I feel like I got to start all over again. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so glad that you said good morning back, because at 8:15, nobody said anything. I couldn't get an amen, I couldn't get a hallelujah, I couldn't get a laugh. I was really nervous. But 9:25, I got one amen and five laughs, so I'm on a roll. I'm hoping to balance the scales today with you in this setting. So all that to say is, today marks the journey for the next 6 weeks that we'll be on together, going through Rick Warren's The Daniel Plan, 40 Days to a Healthier Life. Now, if you're not familiar with Daniel, the Daniel from the Bible, Daniel was an Israelite who was taken under the wings of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he basically wanted to take Daniel and a few others and kind of give them an apprenticeship program, train them up to be leaders that he could utilize under his rule. And with that internship, that meant Daniel and the other guys got the belly up to the bar, so to speak. What I mean by that was they had the king's buffet at their taking, and Daniel chose not to take part in the king's buffet. He said, nope, I'm going to stick to God's design, and I'm going to stick to a very strict diet. And so that was kind of a plan, a challenge that he gave the king. And after the end of 40 days, Daniel was actually stronger and healthier and so forth. And so you'll get to hear about that over the next several weeks, next 6 weeks. But today, I got the job of introducing you to the Daniel plan. So I'm going to throw a lot at you. I pray that you will bear with me and that you will offer some laughter, some amen at the appropriate times. Just don't throw them out there. Amen. I already got one already. Thank you. Appreciate that. But you'll know when. You'll know when they come. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, that our ears and our eyes and our hearts would be open to the receiving of your word, the whisper of your voice, and the message that has been prepared today. We pray that the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips would be pleasing to you. Amen. So this week, I had to come up with a title for the sermon today, and I really racked my brain, and this is really the best I could come up with. Introduction to the Daniel Plan. We're on a good roll, so this week we're going to look at God's prescription for physical health. And the truth is, you already know what it means to live a healthy lifestyle. Whether you're living it or not is one thing, but I think you probably know. It's only a simple few things that you have to take into consideration. You have to eat healthy. You have to eat less. You've got to get moving, you know, some form of exercise. And I found out this week that exercise isn't a dirty word. Do you believe that? It's not. I got one little chuckle. I'm going downhill already. So, you've got to get proper sleep, and finally, you've got to lower the stress in your life. It isn't rocket science. You know this. There's nothing I can teach you about those few things. But what I want to focus on today is the motivation of why we do what we do. The why. Why don't we stick to our resolutions? Why don't we stick to diets and exercise or whatever? How many times have you set a resolution to get in shape and 2 weeks later, it's out the window? I absolutely love the latest Allstate commercial. You know, Mayhem, the guy that plays Mayhem. You know, the first week after New Year's, I saw the new commercial and I was like, my heart sank a little bit because he started doing good. I'm like, no, that doesn't sell, right? That's no fun to watch, being good. He's lying on the road as a road flare, and even the tow truck driver comes up to him and says, "What, Mayhem, what are you doing?" He says, "I've made a New Year's resolution. I'm going to stop wreaking havoc. If I can do it, so can you." In the episode, in the commercial I just saw over the weekend, we're 2 weeks into the year, and he's laying on the road as a road flare, and he's like, "Yeah, I keep getting all these tweets and emails about, you know, wreaking havoc and, you know, I'm being good." And then he says, "I've got to stick to my New Year's resolution." And then he goes, "Wait, what? You guys haven't even, it's only been 2 weeks and you guys have given up already? The heck with this." He puts out the flame, stands up, and causes a car accident, right? Welcome back, Mayhem. It's a wonder why we fail all the time, right? The reason why we fail is because we don't have the right motivation. And if you don't have the right motivation, you won't stick with anything. You've got to have the right reason. When you figure out the why in your life, God will always show you the how. When you figure out the why, God will show you the how. Now let's take a look at what God says about the importance of your Bible. First, let's look at what God says about the physical health. Coming from our passage, 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20, we read, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Flee from sexual immorality and all other sins a man commits are outside of his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hope you don't mind that, Carl. Oh, it's off. Good. All right. So the passage, I think this passage teaches us six radical things that are countercultural truths about your body. And the first is, God expects us to manage our body. We're not the owners. We're the managers. God is the owner of our body. And the biblical term used here is the word steward. And stewardship is an old English word for management. We're talking about the stewardship of our health today. In other words, we cannot blame other people for how we misuse or abuse our own bodies. We're the managers. We're the ones responsible. Our body is a gift from God on loan. God owns it, and then he loans it to us. And one day, we're going to have to give an account. And one day, we're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, what did you do with the body I gave you? Or what did you do with all that I gave you? What did you do with the health I gave you, the mind I gave you, the opportunities, the abilities, the freedom, the wealth that I gave you? What did you do with it all? You see, we're caretakers of our body, and God expects us to manage it appropriately. Second truth is that our body is God's property. Now, these are fighting words here in America because all of us were taught growing up that our body is our own. It's my body, and I'll do with it what I want to. But God says, no, you won't. It's not your body. It's God's body. It's my body, he says. I just loaned it to you. It's not yours because you didn't create it. Your body is not evil, yet so often we treat it as if it were. Your body is holy because God made it, and everything God makes, he makes for a purpose. God has never made anything without a purpose. The biblical truth is that both body and spirit matter to God. The third truth this passage teaches us is that our body will be resurrected when we die. That's one of my favorites, really. We'll be resurrected after we die because God never wastes anything. He never wastes a hurt. And if you'll give him that hurt, he'll eventually take that hurtful thing in your life and turn it around and use it for good. He doesn't waste anything. In fact, God was the first recycler. Here's an idea for you. Right now, let's say you're living in version 1.0 of your body in software terminology. In heaven, you're going to get version 2.0. You will have a new body. And some people think that when you get to heaven, you're just going to be some amorphous spirit, just kind of floating around. Well, if that's true, I say, may the force be with you. Second, other people think that they're going to be angels. But I got news for you. You're not going to be an angel. Angels are angels. People are people. They're a separate class. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will also raise us. See how important your body is? God says, I'm not through with you yet. I'm going to resurrect your body. You say, isn't it going to be awfully hard to do? Decaying in the ground or even being cremated? Well, believe it or not, God can do it, especially since it's the God that created the universe, right? He can do it. What's my resurrected body going to be like? We don't really know. But what we do know is that after Jesus was resurrected, he walked around Jerusalem for 40 days. And at one time, he was seen by 500 people, and he even talked to them. And the cool thing is that his body actually had some kind of capability to dematerialize and rematerialize, because he could appear in a room without having to walk through the door. I think when I have that image in my head, I think, man, that's just like Star Trek. Beam me up, Jesus. Right? I know these jokes are corny, but it's okay. You're bearing with me. Despite whatever we may think that body might be like, here's the truth. Everybody recognized Jesus. Everybody recognized him. So that gives us a clue that when you get to heaven, you are going to have a different kind of body than you have right now. But here's the beauty. Everybody's going to know it's you. Everybody's going to know who you are. And you're still going to be you. You're just going to be you version 2.0, with no blemishes, perfect in every way, like Christ. The fourth biblical truth that we learn is that our body is connected to the body of Christ. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to turn it open to our passage, okay? 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. And scan through there to where it says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead. These are the three words that I want you to circle, highlight, copy and paste, stamp in your brain or whatever, okay? By his power. By his power. You see, I think there's one of three reasons why we don't stick with diets or other get healthy programs. The first reason is because we choose to use our willpower instead of God's power. Willpower, friends, works for a little bit, usually around 3 weeks, and then you get tired and you go off the diet or program and give up the resolution. Why? Because willpower is not enough to change. Willpower is fantastic in the short term, but think for a moment what willpower really is. Willpower is simply forcing yourself to do something that your natural brain doesn't want to do. You got that? Willpower is simply forcing your brain to naturally do something it doesn't want to do. Now, how many of you like being forced to do anything? Man, you guys are consistent with the 8:15 and 9:25. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody likes to be forced what to do. We need more than willpower. We need God power. Whatever your weakness is, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, you're probably going to struggle with it for the rest of your life if you just try to do it on willpower alone. So you're going to need more than simply your own energy. You've got to plug into God's power. And that's the first reason we don't stick with something, because we try to do it on our own strength and understanding. The second reason we don't stick with it is because it's the wrong motivation. When the goal is simply all about me or I or you, that's not enough to keep us going. You need something bigger than yourself to draw you to the finish line. You need something that's far more of spiritual significance to being in shape than simply looking good or feeling good. There are other reasons for it, but appearance alone is not a big enough reason to change or to impact permanent change in one's life. I've discovered this personally, that once I start to lose weight, I tend to lose the willpower to keep it going. One cookie here, one extra serving there. Next thing you know, I'm back to where I started. And I'll be the first to confess, I am currently back to where I started. If you would have seen me just a week ago, I was actually 10 pounds lighter. But when I'm just using willpower instead of God's power, it's like being a yo-yo, up and down, up and down. The third reason why we don't stick with it is when we try to change on our own. Want to go it alone? It isn't going to happen. You were made for community. You were created to be in community. You've got to have a support group. That's one of the reasons why AA is so successful, because they realize they can't do it alone. You've got to have a partner, a coach, a small group. You've got to have accountability. That's why our Run for God groups are so successful. To be able to get people off the couch and into a 3 or a 5K run and be successful and complete it. They're not doing it by themselves. They're doing it in community. You say, one of these days I'm going to change. Well, if you could, you would have. But you can't. So you won't. You need help. Let's face it. We all do better together as a team or a group. The fifth truth is the Holy Spirit lives in your body. God puts his spirit in his body. Verse 19 says, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? That means God takes up residence inside you. He puts his spirit in you, so you become the temple of God for today. Let's look at some of the places God lived throughout history. He dwelt among his people. He asked Moses to build a tabernacle. He dwelt in the tabernacle. He asked David to create a temple, and he dwelt in the temple. And when Jesus came, Jesus said he tore the veil and that it was no more a physical place, but instead that our bodies became the temple. Today, God's Spirit dwells in you. You are the temple. And if you happen to pull in the parking lot of this church one day and you saw a gang of people vandalizing this place, breaking the windows, spray painting the outsides, or burglarizing the place, wouldn't that upset you? Wouldn't you do something about it? Wouldn't you call the police? Why is it that we're so ready to vandalize our temple, our bodies? Who do we call on when we do that? By not taking care of your body, you are vandalizing the temple that God has entrusted to you. But fear not, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The final truth from this passage is this: Jesus bought your body on the cross. That's one of the things he came to do. Verse 20, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. In other words, Jesus bought your real estate. Do you know how much you're worth? If you want to know how much you're worth, take a look at the cross. With arms stretched out and nail-pierced hands, Jesus said, this is how much you're worth. This is how much I love you and the world. Everybody in the world. Doesn't matter if you're Buddhist, Baptist, Jewish, Mormon, Muslim, atheist, whatever. He said, I love you this much. I love you so much it hurts. I love you so much that I'd rather die than live without you. I came all the way from heaven to do this for you. That's how valuable you are. Your body is priceless. Scripture says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, it says. Did you know that taking care of your body, taking care of your health, is an act of worship? That taking care of your body is an act of worship. Let me summarize this for you. God created your body. Jesus died for your body. The Spirit lives in your body. And you're connected to the body of Christ. And one day you'll be resurrected to a new body. In the meantime, you're expected to care for the body. And based on these six facts, can you see how caring for your body is more than just, I'd like to look better? It's a spiritual discipline. The healthier you are, the more God can bless you, and the more God can use you to bless others. Did you happen to know that there's over 98,000 Americans now over 100 years old? That's staggering. So chances are you're probably going to outlive your parents. With that question, or it brings a question to mind to the quality of life that you're going to live. Wouldn't you want to be like Moses, who lived life to the point where it said that he was sharp and he was full of health even on the day he died? That's the kind of life I want to live. By the way, in case you were wondering, the healthiest place to live in America, to live the longest life, is in Hawaii. Hang loose. No stress. Sunny and what, 85 every day? Except for when the hurricane rolls in. Do you know where what state came in second as to live the longest? It shocked me. Minnesota, where it's currently sunny and minus 7 degrees. It must be a slower pace of life. Do you want to know where the worst place to live is, or the place to live a shortest life? It's not Ohio. It's actually Washington, D.C. So if you get offered a job there, say, no, I want to live for a long time. Let's face it, there's a direct connection between your spiritual health and your physical health. And I think that's what the scripture is conveying today. So let me just wrap this up with this. I could give you hundreds of these from the Word of God, but I just want to leave you with four things that will help you lead a healthier life. Are you ready? Number one, trusting God is good for your health. Trusting God is good for your health. Why? Because you trust God, and when you trust God, you tend to worry less. Look, you're either going to worship in life or you're going to worry in life. It's your choice. You're either going to pray or you're going to panic. If you pray, you won't panic. And if you worship, you're going to have a whole lot less to worry about. Psalm 116:7 says, I said to myself, relax, because the Lord takes care of you. Just relax. Let the Lord take care of you. That's trusting. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Friends, it's not just what you eat that matters. It's what's eating you that can cause some destruction in your life. You can have the best microbiotic plan all around. Eat fresh, healthy, organic, proper food in proper proportions. But if you're resentful against your dad, envious against your friend, bitter against your mom, guilty about something you did yesterday, worried about your job, or resentful towards your spouse, I got news for you. That's what's eating you. When you take resentment, worry, and bitterness into you, it's like ingesting poison. It's like a fire that is consuming you from the inside out. It's not just what you eat, it's what's eating you. Second, confessing our sins. Who wants to go first? Man. Confessing your sin is good for your health. You talk to any psychologist and he'll affirm and confirm that statement. You can't repress it, you can't suppress it, you just have to express it to God. When we swallow our anger and resentment and whatever else it is, our stomach keeps score. You hear that? When we swallow all those nasty things, our stomach keeps score. If you don't talk it out to God, then you're going to take it out on your body. Psalm 32 says, "When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable. I groaned all day long. My strength evaporated. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." That's somebody who wrote that's way wiser than I am. And it's a truth, a biblical truth. Did you know it was impossible to feel guilty and happy at the same time? Don't believe me? Give it a shot. It's impossible to feel guilty and happy at the same time. One of the healthiest things you can do is to receive the forgiveness of God in your life. Just throw away the garbage sack that you're carrying around, lies and myths. Throw it away. Don't carry the trash from last year into this new year. Go to God and confess. Trusting God is good for your health. Confessing our sins is good for our health. Third, giving generously is good for your health. It's good for your heart. Every time I give, my heart gets a little bit bigger. Every time I give, I break the grip of materialism in my life. People might say, "Well, I'm not materialistic." All you have to do is look at their checkbook or their bank statement and see where they spend their money and their time. That'll tell you whether or not they're telling the truth. Is it all spent on ourselves, or are we giving it away? There are more promises in the Bible about giving and generosity than any other subject, because God says this: "I want you to learn to be like me." And God, our God, is a giving God. He's generous. Everything you have is a gift from God. The breath that you take right now and the one after that, gift from God. The heartbeat that's going on right now and the next, gift from God. God basically says, like Father, like Son, so I want you to be. I want my children to be like me. I want you to learn to be generous. Every time you give generously, you give away instead of taking and hoarding. Every time you give, you are a healthier you. It's not a mistake that the word miser and miserable come from the same word. Misers tend to be miserable. I believe there's only two kinds of people in the world, givers and takers. Takers are always sad and mad. Givers are always glad. They're the people who are giving things away. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. You want to prosper, don't you? A generous person will prosper. They who refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. Finally, number four, and I wish I had a lot more time to go into this one, but having fun is good for your health. Having fun, the Bible teaches, is good for your health on so many levels. I wish I could take you through all of the verses that talk about this, but the Bible teaches that life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. The Bible tells us that God created everything for enjoyment. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I can tell you from personal experience, if you learn to laugh at yourself, you will have a material for a lifetime. Don't believe me? Ask my wife. I can laugh at myself all the time. I'm laughing at myself right now because I don't have a good story to tell you, but the truth is, when we can learn to laugh, we can learn to love, and we can learn to live. Now, this is a true story about some research that actually happened, as Pastor Dave would say. They did an experiment in collecting people's tears. They collected two kinds: tears of sorrow and anger, and then tears of joy. And they collected these tears, and then I don't know who thought of this, but they decided to take these plants and mix those tears with water and water the plants. Did you know that the plant that was watered with the tears of joy grew exponentially larger than the plant watered with the tears of sorrow and anger? Isn't that something? We are meant to be in community. We are meant to be living in a joyful life. And we're meant to be good stewards of the body, the temple that God has given us. So I know that this has thrown a lot at you, and you may be like, I'm not joining a Daniel plan, that sounds too deep. Well, just give it a try. Because you just might find out, aside from the study, that being in community is a beautiful thing. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you created our bodies, that you sent Jesus to pay for our bodies, that you sent your Spirit to live in our bodies. We'd pray that you'd help us to never forget that our bodies belong to you, not us, and that they're connected to the body of Christ, and that one day we might find hope in the promise of a resurrected body. We pray that you would forgive us for all the times that we've misused our bodies and abused our health. Together, collectively, we commit together to join in a journey of faith and health to follow your plan for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.